Canada Curious. This is the Yes We Canada podcast, the progressive's guide to getting the fuck out. This episode, welcome to Calianada.
Hi, I'm Matt Zimbel in Montreal. In 1992, Manteca, the jazz band I've been playing in since 1979, was on tour in the U.S. after the release of our sixth recording. Now, if you're a regular Yes We Canada podcast listener, you know the band's music because by sheer coincidence, Manteca wrote and performs the theme music to this podcast. We played a date in New York and then got on the tour bus to go directly to Los Angeles for a show at the Hollywood Bowl. Now, New York to LA by bus is not what you would call the best tour routing, and I would have fired our manager if it had not been me. Nonetheless, the cross-country ride meant a few days of much-needed sleep. Now, tour buses are usually configured with a kitchen and a dining room lounge in the front and a living room lounge in the back. In between, there are 12 bunks. It's a remarkably luxurious environment until you've been on one for, a day. On these cross-country marathons, the bus rarely stops. Our driver, who had done three tours of duty in Vietnam as a helicopter pilot, had a very impressive pharmaceutically enhanced endurance. Whenever he tired, he would stand up while driving, and our relief driver would sit in the driver's seat, grab the wheel, and take over in a seamless driver switch with no stopping. We had a bathroom on board and a large gas tank, so we could and did go for days. About 2.5 days into our voyage, I was in my bunk, almost asleep, and I recall the bus start to slow down. Now, this was very unusual. So I roused myself from my bunk just as we came to a stop. "Sorry for stopping, I have a few questions," I heard an authoritative voice say. "Where are you headed?" "L.A., our driver responded. It sounded like we were at Customs and Immigration, but how could that be? We were supposed to be driving across country. One country. Your country. In my drowsy state, I tried to remember the back of the tour t-shirt, which had all the cities in a row according to the tour itinerary. Nope, there was no border at this point on the t-shirt. "You got any fruits or nuts on board?" "Yes, sir, officer," our bus driver said, laughing. "The fruits are in the front lounge, the nuts are in the back lounge." We had been stopped, entering California, not by immigration, but by agriculture. Apparently, there was some kind of fruit blight going on at the time, and California did not want to worsen the situation with out-of-state fruits. It's kind of how Utah thinks about gays. California has always been more than a state. It's somewhere between a notion and a federation. They have 53 Congress folks repping them in D.C., only 11 of whom are fucking liars, Republicans. Both California senators are Democrats, as is a supermajority in the State House, which has been in Democratic hands since 1970. California has always been a very progressive place, often out of step with the rest of the country, even though they did supply us with Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon. During the Trump reign of terror, Trump's federal government was some pissed at California, and it was extremely entertaining for the rest of us to watch. You see, in 2016, the residents of California decided to roll a spliff, have a referendum, and legalize the sale of marijuana. The federal response was to send in the DEA. Then, a whole whack of Californian cities decided to proclaim themselves sanctuary cities, meaning they refused to reveal to the federal immigration authorities their undocumented illegal alien residents. It's estimated that there are more than 2 million undocumented residents in California. The federal response? Send in ICE. The leader of ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, threatened to arrest mayors of sanctuary cities. The cheeky mayor of Sacramento, California, responded by saying, "Well, he certainly knows where to find me." Then the feds, through the Department of Justice, decided to sue California for not respecting states' rights. The suit was brought by the Attorney General of the United States, who at the time was Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions, a man from Alabama, who in 1986 was deemed by the U.S. Senate to be too racist to become a federal judge in Alabama. Only the second time in half a century that the Senate vetoed a federal district nominee to the bench. Wow. Too racist for Alabama. Which, of course, Trump saw as a CV enhancer and hired Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions to become his Attorney General of the United States. California has a Hispanic population of roughly 40%. You might recall all the nice things MOTUS, a moron of the United States, or Donnie J, said about the Hispanic people.
I want to build the wall. We need the wall. The Border Patrol.
He said they were rapers and murderists.
But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
Bad hombres. So let's just say liberal Cali didn't really enjoy the Trump era so much. In fact, it would be fair to say that not since desegregation in the South in the 1960s has a state been at such odds with its federal government. Fast forward to November 2020, the U.S. general election. MOTUS got 6 million votes, and Amtrak Joe Biden got 11 million votes in California. Which is comforting, but California, you still elected Devin Nunes to the 22nd Congressional District. As an American, I know your time is valuable, but I think Devin is worth a sidebar. If you sit quietly for a second and concentrate deeply, can you conjure from the deep recesses of your mind a story that emerged about a congressman hiding in the White House bushes so he wouldn't be seen by journalists entering the White House? You see, Devin Nunes, a former dairy farmer and staunch Republican, was at the time the House Intelligence Committee chairman. He believed that he had uncovered information that the Trump transition team had been spied on by American intelligence officials, and he decided to report his information not to his congressional committee, the one that he chaired, but directly to the president, which is like a parliamentary no-no. Devin's a bit of a punching bag for the left, and as you can see, there's good reason for that. In his district, some political satirists started a Twitter account called Devin Nunes's Cow. Congressman Nunes was not amused, and he sued the cow account on Twitter for $250 million. During the court proceedings, Yes We Canada did an exclusive interview with the cow, which we will run in an upcoming podcast, but I wanted you to hear a clip.
Look, I was artificially inseminated. I cannot be bullied. Clearly Nunes is a little mad cow. This is not a serious lawsuit, it's a movement. Let me tell you something else. Lawmaker Nunes, my former farmer, touched my teats twice a day for years. You want to hear a moo-doo story? Well, I got one.
Of course, a federal judge in Virginia thought it was all fake moos and threw the case out. I have a lot of friends in California, and I have to tell you, I worry about them all the time. They're my high-maintenance friends. You see, they stumble from an out-of-control brush fire, to a seismic earthquake, to a 100-year drought, to a COVID triage situation where they run out of oxygen, and on top of all that, they get nonstop abuse from Republicans everywhere. As Elizabeth Warren used to say, I have a plan for that. California has the sixth largest economy in the world, after Great Britain, but before France. With that, who needs the rest of the U.S.? California's 40 million residents should have a referendum and cede the Union. On the same day the state cedes, Canada will offer to purchase California for $1.26 Canadian, $1 American, making California the 11th province of Canada. Now stay with me on this because it's going to get really good. Canada will then have the sixth largest economy and the 10th largest economy in the world. We'll grow from a population of 37 million people to 77 million, bigger than France, England, and Spain. Unlike the United States, where those born outside of the U.S. can never run for president, Canada has no such laws. So Arnold, the governator, Schwarzenegger, could brush up on his French and potentially become our prime minister-nator. California would get their very own queen, which I'm sure would piss off Meghan and Harry, but they will also get free health care, and our aging Canadian population would suddenly have access to the best plastic surgeons in the world for free. Look, this is a no-brainer. Calianada, or California. We can work on the branding later, yada, yada, yada. But even more important than queens, free health care, and the fact that your bank account just grew by 26% overnight, I think the mindset of a Californian and a Canadian is much more aligned. Up here in Canada, we pride ourselves on being polite people. On my last visit to Los Angeles, where I had once again come directly from New York, I immediately noticed a remarkable difference between the politeness of California compared to the brash rudeness of New York. In New York City, a no parking sign reads,
"Park here without a permit and be towed at your own expense and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Hey, asshole, this means you."
Same sign in California, way more chill.
"Hey, how are you? Cool. This parking space, it's like reserved. It would be great if you could find something else, if it's not too much trouble. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Namaste."
Our people. So here's the state of the new union. California, we're excited about your people. We're excited about your fruit and vegetables, your wine, and of course your military-industrial complex might come in handy depending on just how pissed Washington gets. And now, since you've got some women generals, they're probably going to be cool with this. But there's just one thing, and it's just a little thing. We have in Canada what we call Canadian values: respect, kindness, justice, etc. We want our immigrants, and this now means you, to reflect and adopt these values. Look, we're not worried about Syrians. We're more worried about Kardashians. All that cable reality TV crap produced in California, Are You Hot, Britney and Kevin, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the list goes on and on ad nauseum. That shit is gonna have to park its sorry ass in Nevada. Although, between us, I did think Honey Boo Boo would have made a wonderful education secretary in the Trump cabinet. And come to think of it, if you didn't have reality television, you would not have had Trump, and you'd not be looking to immigrate to Canada. So I'm kind of glad you had reality television, but it's time to move on. So here's the master plan. California joins Canada. It's kind of a reverse merger and acquisition, and stay with me here because now it gets really exciting. As soon as the ink is dry on the M&A, we collectively invade Puerto Rico. Why Puerto Rico? Well, for a few reasons. First of all, as the government of the United States has proven, they do not know how to get there. After Hurricane Maria, when brown American citizens again begged their government to help them in the hour of their greatest need, the response was, "Here's some paper towels, folks. Figure it out." So our invasion would go unchallenged until the Pentagon and FEMA could figure out where the fuck the island is. Also, when we make landfall, our invading force will be heralded as saviors. Just a quick note to Dick Cheney. "Hey, Dick, how's it going? Can't believe you're still alive with your weary, psychopathic heart. But I guess doing the devil's work just keeps that puppy ticking. Anywho, notice how I chose the more biblical word, saviors, instead of your take on the invading army being regarded in Iraq as liberators? Liberators is too feminist. It's too Ms. Magazine to me. Oh yeah, and we won't make the stupid mistake that you made of firing the Puerto Rican army either. They do have one, right? Great talking to you, man. Let's go duck hunting sometime when you have a sec. Now look, I'm no military strategist, though I did get my Selective Service card from the U.S. Army in 1973. But I do know quite a bit about media. So let's talk news cycles. While the media is all yammering on about the impact of California seceding from the United States of America, we've already moved on. We're on a different news cycle completely, because we just attacked Puerto Rico. Not only that, but when we land on the beaches of San Juan, we're hailed as the good guys and gals. Yes, our military includes female infantry, and the Puerto Rican people are dancing salsa in the streets. We immediately make all the PRs Canadian PRs, which, as you know from your Canadian immigration exam prep, stands for permanent resident. We fix the electrical grid in a few weeks, default on all their nasty U.S. loans, and start fresh by adding 26% to their dollar Canadianos. We make them citizens and give them the vote, and with our new 15 million Hispanic brothers and sisters from California and Puerto Rico, we proclaim Spanish as one of the three official languages in Canada. And then, we finally own a nice tropical beach that takes our money at par. Boom. Who's a stable genius now?